Dixieland.
Back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. We'll get to more of your texts later in the show. Joining us now on the line, it is Wednesday from News and Views of the Afternoon, our friend Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery. Joey, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for coming on. We always appreciate your time. I guess the story is last night's elections and just to kind of as a table setter here. I mean, I'm not surprised by the results, but I am surprised by the margins, and I think that's not a good sign for Republicans.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, these are deep blue areas. I've been saying in the months leading up to this that the great migration during COVID, and that's only gotten more pronounced, where the blue areas are getting bluer, and the red areas are getting redder. And that's why I think you're definitely seeing in New York City is that the Democrats, like a Hume Jeffrey Schumer, are getting whooped in deep blue areas from their left flank by the socialists and the communists. And Virginia, I think, is a little different in that the more old school Republican Party that won it, Ron DeSantis and Glenn Youngkin, decided to use, you know, Winsome Sears and all this. And I just think they fell flat on their face. That was, I think, the biggest screw up is, and the screw up maybe happened, what, months, if not years ago. But to have that, particularly Jay Jones guy, win attorney general after those awful things he put out there, that's a little shocking. And then the shutdown's not helping. And as I always keep saying, it's the economy, stupid. Like, people are hurting, and they'll go to anybody who promises them, even if the promise is just pure sand.
Yeah, and you know, the Jay Jones thing is interesting. I don't think it's the same thing, though. Like, how much did Republicans kind of overplay that hand and thinking that, I mean, it obviously had an impact. He eked it out. He lost support for it, and it was close. But they tried to make the entire election cycle about that, and I don't think that was going to work. It's just this, Joey, it's, we do this every cycle. We tend to be optimist. The left does it too. Democrats do it when there's a Democrat in office. They tend to be optimist. Well, maybe, you know, maybe this is different. Maybe this will be a different year. Trump's so good that this could be different, but it's not going to be. And you can't be gaslighting yourself thinking it's going to change. Well, like I said, we do this every time. Well, a year's a long time away, and who knows, but it's just there's more enthusiasm on the Democrat side. Yeah, Democrats are showing up to protest in penis costumes. I mean, there's an energy there that's unmatched.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. No, and you're right, 100% right, as I was taught. Just look historically, it's always the party in power loses the midterms, at least in the House. From the scenarios I'm looking at, it doesn't look like Democrats are going to get the Senate, even worst case scenarios. But the House, if I had to lay down an $100 bet right now, I'd say the Democrats get it.
Yeah, I would say, but I would have said that no matter what happened last night. I still think that there's the Senate's much different. But the House, the margins are too thin. If the Republicans had a big, you know, majority, I mean, then maybe but they're going to lose the House. And I don't know that Hakeem Jeffries necessarily has the ability to be Speaker. I kind of wonder about that in his leadership. But the electorate right now, in spite of Democrats, in spite of a far left swing in the Democratic Party, they look pretty good in 26. I think long term, I don't think that the outlook is quite as rosy. The activists, the people who are very energetic right now, are so far to the left though that it doesn't fit into the fabric of this country, the DNA of the country. And I think in a national election, it's really going to matter who they put on the ballot. And you know, how many times can the Democratic Party elders, you know, really game the system for, you know, a Hillary Clinton, for a Joe Biden, or whoever it may be, for Kamala Harris? That seems like that could run out at some point.
Yeah, at this point, I think, you know, for all the very real and at times nasty infighting on the right wing. I will say they get ready for the fights on the left wing. Sometimes they keep it more in-house. But I don't see how your Cuomo, your Clinton, your Harris, the Obama faction, even your Pete Buttigieg, either more reasonable like the corporate Democrats, and by reasonable, I don't mean I think they're reasonable. They're, how did they compete with the energy coming out of Mondami or AOC? Because the Democratic Socialists look very organized. They look very well-funded. It's a new generation of folks, and I would assume they're going to be the leaders of the party here before too long. And then that's the question. They win in these deep blue places that everybody escaped from, whether it's California or New York or wherever. Okay, you can win there. Good for you as socialist. Let's see how you do on that national argument. And I think the socialists can win on that national argument if the economy's crap, if people can't afford the basics in life across the board, those kitchen table issues, those issues dealing with the cost of childcare. A lot of these, you know, practical things the socialists will appeal to. I think their solutions are wrong, but it's often a message that resonates. And especially one of the shocking numbers, we saw it in 24, too, during the general election, is a divide between men and women. I think it was like 84% of young women voted for Mondami, like under age 30, and still over 60% in the next cohort. So it's, I don't know, good luck on the national stage, but I also good luck to Chuck Schumer and the current leadership of the Democratic Party.
Right. It feels very, I mean, obviously neither you or I were alive, but I mean, I've read enough. Hunter S. Thompson and, you know, Nixon era, and, you know, it feels George McGovern. And that's where the Democratic Party is. Anti-war, anti-Vietnam War, some radical orthodoxies have taken over the Democratic Party. And they're not addressing that. That's going to eventually catch up with them. As I said, it'll be enough to, I think, swing Democrat in a midterm election. But a big national election where all of a sudden you have people getting up off the couch who really do start paying attention to politics. They're not as deeply into it as a lot of us are normally. That seems to me to be very problematic. And that, you know, that 2028 Democratic primary is going to be fascinating to watch.
Here, and if I could throw in the GOP also needs to start getting their stuff together for 2028. And I'm biased in this, but I think more your old school Bush Republicans, God bless y'all, I don't hate y'all, y'all are not the ones in charge of the party anymore. And I think Trump has done a masterful job bridging the populists / the little slice libertarians, which shouldn't matter, but that 1-2% can matter in close races. The populists, the little slice libertarians, kind of your tech pros, and then your traditional conservatives. That's this nice coalition Trump has. I think Vance understands it well. I think Rubio is smart enough to get it too. But there's some folks who I think are still acting like it's the 1990s or the early aughts. And I did, you know, God love Mark Levin and Sean Hannity, all these types, but it's a different party and it's a different country. And, you know, it's one thing to criticize and have arguments, but Youngkin is an example of, okay, y'all, when y'all thought Trump and the whole populist thing was weak, you jumped at it and look what you got for it. Now the Democrats are in Virginia.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of like, I know they call it like distractions, like overthinking and things like that. But, you know, you always got to go back to like this historic precedent and you got a game plan for that. You got a game plan. It's going to be a damage control election in 26. Like how much can you keep the bleeding from, you know, how much can you stop the bleeding? Where can you win? And, you know, the narrative, though, is, well, Trump is doing so awesome that we could pick up seats. I don't think it's a realistic outlook.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And I have to admit, though, I have not done a deep dive looking at the map and how it actually plays out. And the House is always a little more complicated. And add to that complication all these redistricting fights. I think Newsom got his Proposition 50, whatever, passed in California. So Virginia is going to do a similar thing, I'd imagine. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see it all play out. I think the biggest win for Republicans is just keep the House, even if it's a thin margin. That the idea of gaining seats and all the happy talk, I agree with you. It's cope for for a moment. And again, the economy ain't booming in July of 2026 as we celebrate our 250th birthday as a nation. Big problems coming. Big problems.
Well, I don't even know if the economy is booming. Like, how many people? What is it? Because, like I said, the energy is with Democrats. And what do you do? How do you? I don't know. I like how do you overcome that? Because Republicans, even if things are going their way, they view the world as sort of the status quo. So why would I want to go out and vote? And, you know, I'm not too worried about trying to change. I don't think we need to change things. And that's my motivation to vote. I'm good. I think it's true. I mean, you could say Democrats do the same. It's just a human nature question.
Well, and the Democrats could overplay their hand if the Democratic Socialists become the main driving force of that party, to where I think you could scare some older traditional conservatives who really don't like that stuff. But you're right. Every cycle it's this way, every midterm cycle. Party in power doesn't have the energy. People are like, everything's good. Don't worry about it. I mean, it is kind of funny us watching from Alabama. It's like we're not in the middle of these swing states. It's just, I like Trump's idea. I like Trump's idea, break through the filibuster, open up the government, and start passing things like crazy and throw the blame on Democrats after you open it up. I don't know if the senators are going to go for that, but I think maybe that should be pulled. That nuclear option should be pulled.
Well, I think you're going to have just problems institutionally getting the votes to change the rules. I think you're going to lose a number of Republicans if they try to go down that path. I just think that's a non-starter for some of the old lions, people who view the Senate as the world's most exclusive club, that they like that power. And then there's going to be those who look at it. So, well, Democrats, if they have control of the chamber, do you want to really do this? Because you give them a license to go even further if you go with the nuclear option. That the Republicans did this. Look what the Republicans did. And they don't just stop at keeping the government open. They go all out with it. They go all out, and and the Republican leadership may have to do this at some point if this shutdown gets on into 2026, but the consequences are going to be that you give license to Democrats when they do take over, and they will take over at some point to do way, way more, and I think there's an appetite there for that right now among Democrats.
I think you're right, but I think they would. Trump's point, I think he's onto something, is they're going to try to do something like that anyway. And Trump's expanded it, especially this morning, talking to, I guess, a lot of the GOP senators were there at the White House this morning. He was saying, no, let's do it for everything we ever imagined wanting to get done. So it's not just open up the government. It's advance a lot of Republican issues. And my hope is Trump and everybody smart enough, don't just advance issues that are on the wish list. Advance issues that are on the wish list that also put you in a better position in terms of power, institutionally, and in terms of the ballot box. So like nationwide voter ID, citizenship requirements, a lot of restrictions on the mass mail-in voting, and then you can get into all sorts of other particulars. But the idea of like go hardcore, if you pull that option, the trick is you better not lose the Senate, because then everything you just said is absolutely correct.
Yeah, but I don't know. What has me given me pause to that idea is that I thought the Senate was winnable, or at least for Republicans to keep the Senate. I think the House is kind of probably going to be lost. But right now, if you look at sort of where the enthusiasm gap is, I mean, you have to wonder, especially Georgia. I mean, if Republicans are going to keep the Senate, they got to win that Georgia seat back. Yeah, I thought that was a real possibility. And then, right now, I think John Ossoff as the incumbent could probably win in Georgia, and then that's sort of the bellwether.
Yeah, and actually, I think Ossoff is he knows what he's doing. Young, talented guy. I don't even know who the Republicans have even put up. I haven't looked into Georgia's folks throwing their hat in yet.
And if it were Kemp, that would be another thing. But that it's just the numbers aren't there. Like you said, you got people dressing up in penis costumes. They're mad. They're going to go the extra mile for Democrats in the midterms. And it's last night's proof of that. And we can't, you know, right now, Republicans sort of are promoting this idea, this notion, well, you know, Trump is doing so well, it may be unprecedented. No, it's not. It's going to do like it always does, and you shouldn't game plan based on that.
Amen. I think you're right, and everybody should be ready. And I would hope the realists behind the scenes who are paid handsomely to get the job done understand all this. And it's a moment like this, especially with, you know, what, the big event at Auburn tonight with Tuberville, with Turning Point USA, that, again, my heart, just on a practical level for politics, sad that Charlie's no longer here. Like, and I hope that organization, even with him gone, continues to be a force, especially for young folks, and not just a forum to talk, but actually get work done. And you know what? With all the people signing up, maybe that is actually the case.
Joey, folks want to find you online. They want to check out your show or anything else. How can they do so?
At the Joey Clark on X, Joey Clark Live on YouTube, and I write a weekly column, by the way, for 1819 News, 1819news.com, comes out on Tuesday morning.
Y'all need to check that out. Joey, we always appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. It's still on the